Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our chapel service. Today I invite you to sing the scripture reading that we will use for our homily today. You'll find it on page 174 in the front part of your hymn book, page 174. And we will sing together, according to tone 1, the words of Psalm 1, which is the first of the great songs in the Old Testament hymn book, the book of Psalms. Please note that those on this side of the chapel will sing the odd verses on the lectern side. Those on the pulpit side will sing the even verses. And then we will all together sing the lines at the bottom of the page. Which we always use those to conclude the Psalms, the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father and to the Son, to the same tone as well. So please join with me in singing that, and I invite you now to rise. Where you sit in life has a dramatic influence upon you. A few years ago, a television reporter from here in the United States was doing a study of Islam and sat down to interview a little 7-year-old boy who had become a popular public speaker in Tehran. And this little boy, with a microphone in front of thousands of people, would stand and whip up the crowd into a frenzy of hatred toward America. And this reporter sat down with the little 7-year-old boy and interviewed him, and he said, "Do you hate Americans enough that you want to kill them?" The boy said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm an American. Do you want to kill me?" The boy, through the translator, said, "Yes." The report went on to show that this little boy, since about age 3, had been in an Islamic fundamentalist extremist school and had been sitting there for years having this influence his mind. Years ago, a gentleman in a congregation I was serving began going to very radical anti-government protest rallies. And despite the warnings of his family members and the pastors of his church and his friends and so on, He continued to go and sit in that audience week after week. And he finally divorced his wife, left his children, sold his business, and moved to northern Wisconsin, and today still lives there with a number of guns in his possession, waiting for the government someday to come and get him. A distant relative in my family, many, many years ago, when he was in high school, fell under the influence of a very intriguing teacher who had some very radical ideas, one of which was atheism. And going and sitting and having coffee with this instructor slowly started to change his Christian heart away from God and hardened him into at least agnosticism, if not atheism, where he still is today, decades later. Where you sit matters. Where you sit in life, where you permit yourself to be fed spiritually, intellectually, matters. So, the great question for each of us then is, at whose feet will I place myself? Where will I go to learn my perspective on life? Where will I let myself sit to be influenced regarding what is important to me, what I will value? Where will I go to attain my source of knowledge and my direction in life as to where what will ultimately guide me? Where will I go to have the deepest part of who I am be fed? The psalm in front of us speaks to these very important issues. It sets up two kind of parallel worlds, if you will, and then shows the great contrast between them. It's interesting how we like to categorize people. We categorize people by their interests or by their occupations, sometimes by their race or nationality. We categorize people by their sports teams and who they follow and so on, or their certain likes or dislikes of types of music and so on. We have a variety of ways to categorize people, but when it comes to God, God has only two categories: the righteous and the unrighteous. Those who truly believe and trust in Him and are righteous by faith, not certainly because of themselves, but because of having faith in His righteous Son, their Savior, who went to the cross to pay for their sins, to give them the hope of heaven. That's the one group, the category of the righteous, and those who do not have this faith, the ungodly, as they are depicted in our text. And what a contrast this psalm gives us about these two distinct categories. The righteous are described like healthy trees that are planted next to some running water. And the roots of that tree go down deep into this moist, rich soil. And because of that, the trees are very strong and they produce this wonderful fruit. It's a picture of health. Contrast that with the chaff of the ungodly. Chaff is that the little hull that wraps around the kernel of wheat and grain. And when you shake that dried piece of grain, the casing of it, the chaff, blows away in the wind. It would be hard to come up with a more insignificant picture of something from nature than chaff. And this is how God then categorizes those who do not have this faith: the ungodly, the unrighteous. Now we're told regarding the righteous, regarding the believer does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now it's not saying that we are isolated away from ever hearing these things in our lives, from knowing what sin is, or that we are isolated away from ever having these things reach our ears. No, the believer certainly lives in this world with all of its wickedness and influences around us and all of its false teachings that come at us in various ways. The believer is constantly bombarded by that. But he says we are not to walk in it, nor are we to stand in it, nor are we to sit in these assemblies where we can be so influenced. My dad used to always say, make sure that you're putting yourself at the feet of those who will direct you towards Christ. Put yourself at the feet of those who will strengthen your faith and teach you accurately the Word of God. There's an old German proverb that goes like this: whoever embraces dirt soils himself with it. Whatever you choose to mentally, spiritually, intellectually pick up in life, and that can be done through books, it can be done through lectures, it can be done through your computer. Whatever you choose to pick up in life that is filthy and contrary to the will of God will ultimately soil you. This psalm is teaching us that the believer cannot have a relationship from God apart from his word. And on this word of God, we're told that the righteous, the believers, meditate day and night. Now that may cause you to say, well, I don't know if I'm really one of the faithful then, because I don't read the word of God day and night. Maybe we should. Maybe some of us do. Maybe some of us forget sometimes. Maybe we think it would be great to do that, but we forget a lot of times and have other things take up our time. But notice he says that you meditate day and night. That means that you ponder the word of God. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're physically reading it all the time, but what it does mean is that it is inside of your heart and soul, that very word that now guides and directs you in life. Even when it comes time to looking at ways that you have broken the commandments of God, even when it comes time to seeing your sin, that word of God in our hearts causes our consciences to realize how wrong that was and to go back and look at it and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I should not have done that. Help me to avoid this again in the future. Even that is meditating upon this word as one of the righteous. Parents have taught us not to hate, but this text shows us that there is something we can hate. God would have us have what you might call a holy hatred against anything that would pervert our souls and harm and damage our spiritual lives. In your college years, you are, maybe without thinking about it, in the most crucial time of your life when it comes to spiritual matters. Studies indicate that if there is a time in a person's life to fall away from following the Word of God, it would be between ages 16 and 23. Those tend to be the most crucial years for a person to either stay with their faith or to walk away from it. And the challenge you have right now is that eternity seems so far away that it would be very easy to start changing your priorities, thinking you'll come back to these things someday when you're my age or older. And there are many other voices out there in the world that seem to offer you more tangible, positive results in your life than listening to this word of God does right now. But the believer, the righteous, is always mindful of the end game, which our text describes. Listen again. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, describing those who are in heaven. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. A number of years ago, I went to meet a man who was registering his daughter to go into the Christian day school at a church where I was serving. And I remember that he said to me, started to get tears in his eyes, and he said, "It's just so fantastic to think that every day my daughter will get to sit at the feet of somebody that's teaching her about Jesus." This is what the righteous crave. Our Lord himself summarizes this psalm this way: blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. Please rise. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of life everlasting, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.